Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score. Great to have you joining us today. Hopefully you've already taken a look at my Week 14 rankings and the updated trade value charts for the rest of the year. They went up today. I'm also aiming to have an updated version of the Dynasty trade value charts out on Saturday. Always tough to find time to do those during the season, but Saturday is the target for that. Now, on today's show, we're going to be getting you caught up on a bunch of changing situations around the league, things that could impact your team, not just in Week 14, but really could alter the fantasy playoff landscape as well. Before we do that, before we get our guest in here, let's go over my three unapologetically bold predictions for Week 14, courtesy of our friends at Captain Morgan. And my first bold prediction this week: Justin Fields will be the highest scoring fantasy quarterback in Week 14. He has an incredible history against the Lions. He rushed for over 100 yards in each of their last three meetings. We just saw him finish as the QB8 against them back in Week 11, and they're giving up the fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. The last time he played them at home, guess what? He finished as the QB1 overall in fantasy that week. So expect a huge day for Fields in this one. My next bold prediction: the Cowboys will have 200-yard receivers this week. And it won't be a surprise that CeeDee Lamb gets there. He's gone over the century mark in five of his last seven outings, has a touchdown in four straight games. He is playing like the superstar that he is. But the way to attack the Eagles, it's through the air. And Dallas, they're going to be at home. They're going to be on that fast track this time around. That's going to help unlock Brandon Cooks, who's only gone over 75 yards once this year. But with Dak Prescott playing just at the peak of his powers, Cooks is going to join Lamb with a 100-yard day. They're going to help the Cowboys get a win at home. And then my final prediction: we were going to go with Isaiah Likely finishing as a top five fantasy tight end, but I'm a little bit worried about the weather in that game. So let's turn to Gabe Davis being a top 24 fantasy receiver. He's coming off his best game of the season, 6 for 105 and a touchdown versus the Eagles. And he's done really well in his last couple battles with the Chiefs, whether it was last year, he had 74 yards and a score, or 2 years ago in the playoffs. I'm sure everybody remembers he went over 200 yards and had four touchdowns in that game. This projects to be another high scoring contest, and the Chiefs, they haven't been a good matchup for fantasy wideouts, but we've seen some number two receivers get home against them recently, like Romeo Doubs. He had 4 for 72, Jacoby Myers 6 for 79 in a TD, or Devonta Smith 6 for 99. So you can dream big if you're putting Davis in your lineup this week. And those are my bold predictions for Week 14, and I'm calling it with Captain Morgan. All right, let's get our guest in here. Another one of our regulars. He's on with us every single season. John Daigle of 4 for 4. He's cranking out a ton of content over there. You can also find him on Twitter or X at NotJDaigle. Mr. Daigle, how you been, man? Welcome back to the show.
Doing well, and like a lot of people, I'm sure we're all just trying to either squeeze into the fantasy playoffs, hold someone back, or maybe even beef up our team for the consolation bracket. And right now, everyone is just scrambling, trying to get there with all these injuries happening.
Well, then it's probably a good place to start. I know you write a waiver wire column over at 4 for 4. I do the same for The Score. And we've talked about that in the past when you've been on and kind of compared notes a little bit. This week, I actually thought there were some really intriguing options out there on the waiver wire. So I want you to tell me, who are you most excited to get this week? You know, whether it was somebody for Week 14 or, like you're saying, trying to beef up for the fantasy playoffs. Who is that guy for you this week?
It was initially Tajay Spears, but then once we got the reports that Derrick Henry was in fact not in concussion protocol, we lost Tajay Spears. I know some people were still saying, hey, you should pick him up. And that's true. He's still a contingency option who can probably help you win your leagues if Henry were injured. But if Henry's not injured, I can't imagine being in a position where we would start him. So lost the cover boy overnight, had to change that Monday evening out of nowhere. Having said that, there are two good options, one in each position. That's if you're struggling at running back. I think Ezekiel Elliott is interesting. He can only go as far as the offense can take him. And at least on Thursday night, the Patriots have an 11.5-point team total. So we don't think Zeke is like this amazing ceiling play. But we did see in the last three quarters when they didn't have Ramondre Stevenson, Zeke out-carried Ty Montgomery, the other active running back in that game, 16-1. And he ran around on 69% of dropbacks for a 20.8% target share. So literally an every down back a la A.J. Dillon, who you do need to score the touchdown since they're not explosive. But I've seen my own rosters where I'm struggling to, you know, fill that RB2 spot. I think Zeke could certainly help out. And the other one, who I think actually, we all manage our fantasy football teams differently, but if it shakes out where Joe Flacco's starting and Amari Cooper still in the concussion protocol, I would still flex Elijah Moore over Ezekiel Elliott. Because in the first quarter, if you're looking at the box score, you probably didn't notice that Elijah Moore was not targeted, unfortunately. It was all Amari Cooper. But once Amari Cooper exited, and the last three quarters then, Elijah Moore, a season-high 29% target share with a 20-yard depth of target, as Joe Flacco just launched it for 12 air yards per target. Usually, if you're getting those downfield shots, we know those are the most inconsistent targets in fantasy football because they're coin toss situations. You still have to battle the cornerback and then come down with the catch, which is why someone like Jameson Williams, for example, if that's all you get is 1 to 3 targets and the high A-dot, it's probably not going to matter. We can't start you because you're not getting enough volume to warrant playing you in coin toss situations. But when you're seeing, like I said, the 29% of the team's targets plus the depth of target, I get really excited. Also, this soft Jaguar secondary that can't create pressure and just let Jake Browning do whatever he wanted to them on Monday night. So I like Elijah Moore quite a bit in this spot if the dominoes fall right.
And that's assuming that Joe Flacco is starting. I know yes. Dorian Thompson-Robinson back at practice today, but he still is in concussion protocol, and Kevin Stefanski not willing to announce a starter yet. In my mind, they have to go back to Flacco, though, don't they?
No hyperbole. I think Joe Flacco looked better than Deshaun Watson. And you could say it was against a soft Rams defense that also doesn't create pressure, but that's fine because based on a matchup analysis, it's the same spot against Jacksonville. So given just how live his arm was and how much more he offered than everyone else, I don't understand how they would tell Joe Flacco to get back on the bench for DTR, who in his three starts, the Browns didn't reach 14 points in any of them.
So Flacco, kind of a surprising performance. I expected that he'd kind of give us maybe, you know, mid-range QB2 numbers last week. I think he turned out to be the QB13 on the week. We also had another surprising performance from a quarterback, and that one happened on Monday night, so everybody got to see it. Jake Browning showing some poise, helping the Bengals produce and get a win, and that was without Joe Burrow. I didn't expect them to win that game without Joe Burrow. Certainly helps that Trevor Lawrence got hurt, and we'll talk about him in a second, but does Browning give you hope here for this Bengals offense rest of season, or are we just going to see him come back down to earth?
Browning and the schedule, I think, helps me out here because that's been the issue with these backup quarterbacks is we're asking, can you still get our guys there? Can, like, you get Ja'Marr Chase, Garrett Wilson, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, the list goes on. Can you get them there in soft spots? And for some, like Tim Boyle and others, it's been, oh, no, you can't. But others, like Jake Browning, I think he can. Because now Ja'Marr Chase, the last 2 weeks, a 27.7% target share, the wide receiver 13 in points per game. And so now another soft spot against the Colts secondary this week. I do think Jake Browning is good enough to continue to elevate Ja'Marr Chase. Everyone else I have question marks about. Like, we're also in the time of the year where players are, or managers are holding on to players based on name value, like Jerry Jeudy, Terry McLaurin, T. Higgins is why I'm saying this, because I do think those guys are droppable. So I don't worry about Ja'Marr Chase, but I worry about the rest of the environment because I don't think Browning is good enough to elevate everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And then on the other side, I mentioned that Trevor Lawrence injuring his ankle and he had to walk like a mile and a half to get checked out and to get treatment. I have no idea what was going on there and why they didn't have a cart for him. But CJ Beathard, he comes in. He does a pretty solid job in relief. And I know the Jags are saying Lawrence is going to do rehab around the clock and he's going to try to play this week, but I think that's probably unrealistic. You never know. I mean, stranger things have happened this season. But what I'm curious about is your outlook for the Jags. If Lawrence isn't out there, they're also probably going to be missing Christian Kirk, who got injured in that one. So how are you approaching that Jags offense, who might be pretty shorthanded here?
I'm very worried. Beathard comes in, a 30-year-old journeyman, and averages the 27th lowest, highest, however you want to say it, depth of target among all quarterbacks. That's why I think Evan Engram had 6 of his 10 throws, because Beathard was literally just dumping the ball off. Whereas Calvin Ridley, 1 target on those 10 throws. Zay Jones, 2. I'm worried about the offense. I'm worried about Calvin Ridley in particular, who we were struggling to get there anyhow whenever Zay Jones was out. So to me, I think Evan Engram is the safest one here. Travis Etienne as well. But very much worried about Calvin Ridley being even a wide receiver 3 the rest of the way.
Yeah, and the matchup too with the Browns this week, it's a pretty tough one. I know I had Brandon McManus, their kicker, way down in my rankings, and I had a couple people ask me about that, but there's several things working against them. The fact that those guys are going to be missing, the fact that the Browns are going to be a much tougher opponent, it's going to be a short week for them, and the weather, and I don't really get into the weather too much in this time of the week. I normally wait until Thursday and then over the weekend to kind of look at the forecast a little more, but there's going to be a bunch of games this week that have bad weather. We're talking rain, we're talking wind, and I think that's going to be one of them, so that's another reason to worry there. I want to keep going on the quarterback injury front. So Derek Carr, he's in concussion protocol. He also has a back injury that they're monitoring. Are you ready for the Jameis Winston experience? I mean, I know Carr is another guy who's saying he's going to do everything he can to try to be out there and play this week, but fantasy managers, we're probably looking to have Jameis out there, right? That gives these receivers a better chance, I think, for big plays, a better chance to produce for us. So how are you feeling about the Saints if Jameis is the one out there this week?
I still feel just fine because we know exactly what Jameis Winston is going to give us. It's going to probably give the Panthers some defensive points, but also he's going to get our receivers there. And with Derek Carr, we at least saw Chris Olave continuing to get there weekly, especially these last three games. Olave has now gone on a great stretch in between the Saints' bye. But what we're asking is, can Winston get everyone else there? And honestly, maybe Alvin Kamara is the one who loses out a hair since Winston is checking down less than Carr. But at the same time, all the confidence in the world in Taysom Hill, who without Rashid Shaheed, who I believe will still be banged up this game, then Taysom Hill we saw last week, a season-high 13 carries, 8 routes, and 2 dropbacks as quarterback, easily a top 4, top 3 tight end the rest of the way if they're going to continue giving him that usage. And so to me, it's just really about, can you keep getting Olave there? And whenever Derek Carr got injured, not last week, but the last time before their bye, Olave was still targeted 9 times from Winston. So we definitely think that Olave can continue to sustain a fringe wide receiver 1 production without Carr this week.
And then one more quarterback injury to go over. The Steelers losing Kenny Pickett. He had to undergo surgery on his ankle, and there's mixed reports. You know, he could miss 2 to 4 weeks. I'm leaning towards him just not being back for the rest of the fantasy season. I think that's the most realistic outlook. So how much are you downgrading the Steelers' fantasy assets with now Mitch Trubisky starting again?
A lot. Pat Freiermuth can probably get there given the landscape of his position. Everyone's in a position where we probably bid a lot of fab on him following the game before the Cardinals. And then once Pickett went down, we thought, oh no, like we're just kind of stuck with him. And it's okay given tight end. But even Deontay Johnson, if you look past the box score, Johnson had 2 catches for 5 yards up until the final drive. And then he had a 30-yard catch and the touchdown inside the 10-yard line. Without that last drive and complete garbage time against the Cardinals, who were just dunking on them by 3 scores, Johnson doesn't get there either. So I am genuinely worried about everyone outside of Najee Harris, who out-touched Jaylen Warren 18-10, and Pat Freiermuth, if only because he plays tight end.
All right, and then we're going to finish it off here, John, with the rapid fire section. And you've done this before. Quick answers only, maybe a little context in there as well, but we're going to move through these a lot faster. And we will start with, this is a question that I've gotten a few times lately. People being unhappy with what they've got from Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson this year hasn't exactly been like the elite numbers that they were expecting most weeks. So is there any reason to be concerned about Mahomes and or Lamar based on their recent, essentially disappointing fantasy production?
Yes, Patrick Mahomes in his last 5 games hasn't finished any higher than QB9, but we look at everything from a matchup standpoint, and you can't possibly bench him against the Bills. So we think that game is going to be the top 1 or 2 highest scoring totals on the week with the Cowboys and Eagles. And then for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, really just hope the defense stops being good because Lamar has been great, but the defense is so elite, even historically speaking, that Lamar is not needed in these games.
Which Giants are you willing to play in fantasy with Tommy DeVito getting the start again? And we did get, right before we came on, there was a report that Darren Waller is back running routes, but he's sort of expecting that maybe next week he would be able to come back. I don't think he's going to be in play for this week.
And I am willing to pick up Darren Waller wherever I need a tight end, given the giant soft playoff schedule. But the only one I have confidence in outside of Saquon Barkley is Jalin Hyatt. Because at least we saw Jalin Hyatt before the bye lead the team in routes run, have a 25% target share, and go over 100 receiving yards. So he's the one I'm chasing for this last month of the season.
Yeah, hopefully a little post-bye rookie bump there for him. How are you feeling about the Vikings offense now that they've announced that Josh Dobbs is going to get at least one more start?
Dobbs can be started for his rushing floor, but I worry if Nick Mullins is active because I think the leash is going to be much shorter than the past for Dobbs. It's also concerning for Jordan Addison because Addison was a fringe wide receiver 3 in his 4 starts without Justin Jefferson from Dobbs. And when Jefferson comes back, they're not scheming targets for Addison, nor is Dobbs capable of carrying 2 wide receivers in fantasy. So, like the guys I mentioned earlier, I do think Addison is closer to droppable with Jefferson back this week.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I moved him down quite a bit in the rest of season rankings that I put up this morning. How are you feeling about the Jets offense with Zach Wilson back under center? I can't imagine it's good.
Not great, but we at least know what we're getting because in Wilson starts from weeks 2 through 11, Garrett Wilson did have the 3rd highest target share in the league. The issue is his targets come from Zach Wilson, which is why he was wide receiver 32 in points per game in that span. So you know what you're getting. You're getting all the volume, but you have to cross your fingers for a touchdown.
Not that it matters much here, but we've been talking about all these different quarterback situations. So who do you think is going to start for the Patriots at quarterback this week?
It's going to be Bailey Zappe, unfortunately. I would get to, outside of Ezekiel Elliott as an every touchback, I would still get the Devontae Parker. We saw Devontae Parker pop up for a team-high 9 targets, 34% target share from Zappe. What I really want, though, I know this is a quick segment. I'm going to go on a spiel real quick.
That's all right.
I'm waiting for Malik Cunningham, and I keep mentioning him for Superflex Leagues in my waiver column. I don't know if you've touched on him at all, but this dude at Louisville in his last 2 years did average over 11 carries per game. So if they just give us a little bit of that rushing juice, especially since we're all so desperate in 2 quarterback leagues, that's what I want to happen down the stretch. But if it's Bailey Zappe, Devontae Parker's as far as I can get as long as DeMario Douglas is out.
Well, I don't want to suggest that they're tanking, John, but I don't think that they want to win any of these games, so no. I don't know that they are going to go to Malik Cunningham, but I agree with you that it would be exciting for fantasy, and it might even give them a shot to win some of these and at least put up some points and not get shut out every week. A couple more questions that I like to ask everybody when they come on. One is, who's your favorite redraft stash at the moment?
Lots of them, because I think people are incorrectly stashing 2 defenses this year when the game has changed. You can literally even pick up the Commanders defense against Zach Wilson in week 16, and there's no need to ever stash the Commanders defense. So I like targeting all backup running backs. I think my personal favorite is either Tyler Algier or Rico Dowdle for injury, but honestly, just look at your waiver wire and grab a backup running back because that player is much more important than a second defense this year.
All right, and then last one, which player is being overlooked heading into week 14? And you can take that in a variety of ways, but who deserves some more love heading into week 14?
Given the landscape of the situation we talked about at the top of the show and how poor the Jags secondary is, I'm going to lean into the dominoes falling correctly for us. And I really do think Elijah Moore will be overlooked in redraft leagues. Someone I think can be a top 24 wide receiver as long as Amari Cooper's out in this spot.
I like that call. And that is all for today's show. So make sure you're following John over on Twitter, X at NotJDaigle. Go check out all his stuff over at 4for4. Anything that you want to highlight over there, John? Anything you're working on that you want people to know about?
The waiver wire column is still coming out every single week, and I always stress to watch my DFS show with TJ Hernandez and Pat Corain. And I know people listening may be like, why would I watch a DFS show if I don't play DFS? But I'm telling you, like, you can parse any information as long as you're doing it from a big picture stance. And I think listening to the matchup analysis of our DFS show and why or why not we don't think players will reach their ceilings will actually help you in your start sit decisions for your redraft league. So Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern is when we record that show on the 4for4 YouTube channel.
Awesome. Well, always a great time having you on, man. I appreciate you answering the call. Anytime I put out the Daigle bat signal, you're very quick to respond, whether it's for the show, whether it's to join the International Dynasty League there. You took over an orphan team this past season. You're right in the playoff spot. So very well done there. And thank you for doing this, man.
Of course, always fun to join you, Justin.
As for me, I will have the rankings updates out on Thursday. I'll have the mailbag show for you probably late Thursday afternoon. But until then, big thanks once again to John. Big thanks to all you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, I said.